til Støperiet I Hamar Frikirke. Vi et møtepunkt for studenter og unge voksne, der målet å bli bedre kjent med Gud, hverandre og at flere skal få høre om Jesus. Sjekk oss ut på Facebook eller Instagram, @Støperiet Hamar. Her kommer ukens budskap.
Hello. My name is Justin Morehouse. I am a 39-year-old father of three and Norwegian. Did you know that? I'm actually Norwegian. Do I sound Norwegian? No. I have proof. Here it is. I am a Norwegian citizen. You can't really see the picture, but the lady that took my picture at the post or the postkontor was not happy with me. She couldn't get my beard in, so she took it like three times and was like, "Ah, glem det." I became a Norwegian citizen about a year ago, and it was a very big day for me to receive that citizenship. But 20 years ago, I never thought I'd be a Norwegian citizen. My first introduction with a Norwegian was in 1998. Were some of you not born then? I feel old when I talk about 1998. But I was overseas and I met my first Norwegian. And my first introduction with a Norwegian was not the best. It's funny when you meet somebody from a culture for the first time because you start to make some assumptions about that culture. She was very cold, not very fun to talk to, a little stuck up, a little bit more into herself, and just not very nice. And that was my first introduction with a Norwegian person. After that, I met another Norwegian person. About 2 years later, exactly the same. So my introduction to Norwegian people was a little tainted, you could say. Very cold, very self-centered, very much heia Norge. Can you hand me that bag right there? I forgot to bring that up. Thank you. That's for later. But then, oh man, 2 years after that, I met this girl. She was Norwegian. Still the same a little bit. A little introverted, a little cold. But man, she was hot. And we got to know each other a little bit. It took us a few years, but we ended up getting married. And then I moved to Norway and got to know Norwegian people. There were some that were a little cold, others that were really friendly. But I was taken out of my American citizenship and moved into a Norwegian. I had to learn how to be Norwegian. When I moved here, I started to get to know the culture. I had to learn the language. I had to, in a sense, become Norwegian. I had to start looking around at the world around me and think, how do Norwegians think? What do Norwegians do? But I have to confess, I still find you guys a little boring. I try really hard. I sit around the lunch table and I have colleagues that talk about shishi thing and goposhi. The only thing that's interesting they talk about is fishing. But I really try. And what I try to do is, let's see. Oh, where'd they go? Here. I try to do this. My father-in-law bought these for me when I first moved to Norway. When I didn't know the language, I didn't know anything, he said, "Here, try these on." So I try to look at the world now as I live here through the eyes of a Norwegian, through the culture of Norwegians. But I still find it boring. You guys don't like things like American football. I can't find anybody to play basketball with. I like to have a beer every once in a while. You guys have overly expensive beer that doesn't taste very good. Have I offended you yet? Just a little. But the thing is, I love Norwegians. I've chosen to live my life here. My kids are Norwegian and American, but mostly Norwegian. Norway has become my home. People ask me if I miss home, and I do sometimes, but honestly, now that I live here, my life has become integrated into this culture. But it didn't start out that way. I didn't like Norwegians the first time I met them. Why am I talking about this? Because I really wanted to offend you. This was the same kind of introduction I had with Christianity. And here I'm going to offend you again. When I was younger, I met some Christians and they were boring. They were very self-centered, very self-righteous. They talked about this Jesus guy, but he seemed really far out there and a little bit judgmental. As I watched them, I thought, there is no way I want to have anything to do with those people because they're super boring. I know we're about to do this later tonight, but just for as an example, they sit around and play cards, drink coffee, and they don't do anything else that's fun. I have things that I like to do. I like to go to concerts, and I like to go out and have a nice meal and have a beer and have I was 19 at the time. But then through some circumstances, I met this guy named Jesus. And I had an experience with him that showed me that the people that I had met haven't necessarily represented him for who he is. But I also met some Christians along the way at that time that were different than when I first met. They weren't as judgmental. They took me in for who I was. That was my journey, and I got to know the culture. I got to know what it meant to be a Christian after that. I met Jesus through his gospel and started to walk with him. But the problem is I still didn't like Christians. Sometimes I still don't like Christians, honestly. And I'm trying not to offend you, actually a little bit. But I want us to think about how the world around us sees us. This fall, we're going through a series called Flyttende Evangeliet. How to live in the gospel, how to move in the gospel. How the gospel is active in our lives. And the first week we had Carlos Guide, he talked about what is the gospel. He explained very well, a little intense, about what the gospel is and what it does for us. When we were born into sin. We were separated from God. We were enemies of God. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, giving himself in our place, God drew us near through his grace in faith so that we could become his children. That is the gospel. Our response to that is to start following him. Sandra, the last meeting we had, talked about identity. What it means to go from having shame and scum and moving into having an identity where we see ourselves the way Christ sees us. Pure, clean, and on our way into holiness the way that he sees us. That is our identity. Tonight I want to talk about where the gospel takes us and how we see the world around us. We've talked about what the gospel is, how God sees us, how we see ourselves, but how do we view the world around us through the eyes of the gospel? It took me a few years after actually meeting Jesus to really grasp what the gospel was. That there was this thing called grace. There was acceptance no matter what. My identity was really formed out of, when I first became a Christian, I was actually working as a missionary when I became a Christian. It's a little funny. I don't recommend it. I recommend the becoming a Christian part, not the being a missionary as you. Because a lot of my identity as a Christian was based in the fact of doing works. It was moving forward, doing mission, seeing results, getting things done. But the problem is we weren't seeing things get done. And so my vision of what a picture of what a Christian was somebody who worked and worked hard all the time out in the middle of nowhere, reaching people that you really didn't know, really didn't love. But it's just what you do. As a Christian, you're a missionary. The picture and the identity, a lot of what was talked about in Psalm 39. The best that you could do is to be a missionary. And that's what I thought as a Christian you were supposed to do. To be a good Christian, you had to be in ministry. But that wasn't the case. It took me a while to really see the way that Jesus viewed me as that pure person that he had saved and was taking further and taking along towards him. But then I would ask myself, well, what's the point then? What are we doing here? What does it mean to be a Christian then? And he brought me to a passage that I think Kodolska talked a little bit about it, but it's the first one, 1 Corinthians passage. Can you put it up on the... Yeah, that's in Norwegian. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. This might seem a little too simple. As a Christian, what are we supposed to do? What does it mean to live out the gospel? What does it mean to be in the gospel, working out the gospel? In a sense, this little verse is everything. I want to take us back to the gospel. In the gospel, we are saved through Christ. We become his children. And in addition, we become part of his family. I don't know if you guys have thought about what the word Christian means, but actually back in the day it started to mean little Christs, little Jesuses. That Christians are representing Jesus as part of his family to the world around us. So really, in a sense, as a Christian, whatever we do, whatever if we eat or we drink or whatever we do, it's giving glory to God. It's representing him to the world around us. Now the problem is, how does the world around us view us then? And this is where a key understanding of the gospel is essential. I work as an architect. I design houses for people. So my job is people come to me with ideas and dreams. And this is our house. This is what we want. I look at the drawings. I look at how the walls are and stuff. And sometimes I have to go back to them and say, I'm sorry, but this house is not going to stand up. They'll be like, well, why? Well, I can't get your walls to match up with the world. There's ground underneath the house, and if the house can't stand on that ground, then it falls down. So the foundation of the house has to be set up in a way where the walls that carry, that bear the roof and stuff, it's like looking in this room right now, you see these pillars, they go down onto the foundation in the corners, and if that's not strong, this whole room will fall down. Don't worry, it's safe. I've sat where you guys have sat many times and sometimes haven't been interested in what's been set up here, so I've been looking. Just joking. If the foundation of the gospel is not in place, then the work that we do or the lives that we live, the identities that we have, will crumble. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the very truth that he is the one that saves us, it's not something that we've done. The very truth that it's by our faith in him and him walking towards us and meeting us and we accepting him. If that's not an essential part of our faith, an essential part of the way that we view life every day, then our house can fall down. So why is this important? Because we have a job to do. I don't know if you know this, when you signed up to be a Christian, you were given a job. Now, this job is not meant to be the job that we think of, but it's more of a response. The response of us understanding that the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ himself, gave himself for us in our place so that we could be with him. The response of that should be something that we want to shout from the rooftops. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm young enough to be on Facebook. I still haven't got this whole Instagram thing, but we're getting there. Just joking, I'm on both. But I really like on Facebook that you get the memories. You get things that come up that you've posted in the past and stuff. As I've looked at the memories, I had a couple this week, I was thinking, man, there's a lot of pictures here on my kids. I post a lot of pictures of my kids. I must really love my kids. My kids are a huge part of my life. I have three boys. They're amazing, rambunctious, a little annoying at times. But I love my kids, and I will talk about my kids all day. But I've tried not to post as many pictures lately. There's a lot of people that react to, like, these annoying parents that post pictures of their kids all the time. So I've been trying to stay away from that. But I love my kids. My kids are an essential part of my life that I have no problem talking about because they're a part of me. And I started thinking about this the other day, and I was actually really ashamed about something. On Facebook, there was a post about tonight's meeting. And I saw that I was going to be speaking tonight. I knew I was going to. I wasn't reminded. But I remember about a year and a half ago, I actually asked the guy who's responsible for the Facebook stuff not to tag me in the Facebook because I was worried about stuff in my professional life. And I got really convicted about that. That something as important as my kids, I have no problem posting. But something is important about the fact that I'm involved and I'm a Christian. I don't want to be identified. And here I am supposed to talk about tonight the idea of the gospel and the way that we share it with others. I was very ashamed of that. And the reason why I'm ashamed is because why, if I have the gospel of the as a foundation in my life, why am I not standing on the rooftop shouting at this amazing message that Jesus Christ died in our place for our sins so that we can be with him? Do we get that? We're not a part of a club. This is fun. I like getting together with you guys, but the point of getting together is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we get to be together as a family. So why am I not willing to stand on the rooftops and shout about it? This has been really good for me to think about. I'm one that likes to share my faith. I'm one that likes to talk with people. I'm one that is always looking for opportunities in everyday life to be able to share my faith, to share a little bit about myself, or to reflect Christ in some way. But somewhere along the way, I started to move to forget the fact that it's the gospel that needs to be the foundation of the message that we give, and not just the fact that I feel like I have to share it. So why did I talk about all that stuff about Norwegians at the beginning? My experience of Christians before I became a Christian and my experience with Christians afterwards are still very similar. But I've had a lot of hope because, yeah, how do I say this nicely? I've seen that culture inside the church can change. I've really been excited about what's happening in Stippity and Frikirke in the last couple months, or the last years, with this idea of starting to look more outwards. Let's start talking about the gospel. Let's start thinking differently. Let's changing our culture. Because culture is really what shapes how we live and how and what we do. And part of why we've thought about speaking about the Evangelia this fall is because of trying to help us understand that it's our job to share the gospel with the world around us. And part of this is, how does the world also view us? Are we open? Are we including? Have we created a culture internally that is not accepting of others' cultures, others' ideas? And I'm not talking about that's in opposition to the gospel. I'm talking about just culture in general. Are we closed, or are we willing to take in people that are different than us? I am very different than you guys. very, very different. I'm friends with a few of you, but not all of you. Some of you would not like hanging out with me, and I probably wouldn't like hanging out with you. But we are a family, and that's a beautiful thing. And here's the reason why. There are people out there that I cannot reach that you can. There are people out there that you were created the way you were, with the interests that you have, with the jobs that you have, the education that you have, that you can reach and be Jesus for them that I can't. And that's a beautiful thing. So my hope, as we think about this, as we contemplate this, what does the gospel really mean in the way that I view the outside world? Do I view the outside world through the lenses of a Christian culture that isn't including, or do I view it through the lenses of Jesus, through his gospel of accepting people no matter who they are or what they've done? As Jesus moves forward towards them, that they are people that we can represent Jesus to and be for them what they need in order to have a great experience with Jesus. There's people in your lives that you are going to be the only Jesus that they ever meet. Now that might feel like a big, big responsibility. It might feel very heavy. But here's where I want to encourage you. Get to know the gospel more. Have the gospel in your life as the foundation. Have it move through your life and in everyday life, in every part of your being. Because then that responsibility will feel normal. It will be a part of everyday life. You'll have experiences like I did last week. I was at a coffee shop with a friend. My wife and her husband were in a theater with our kids watching something, but we didn't have enough tickets, so she and I just went and had a cup of coffee. All of a sudden, she started talking about how she used to work in... what is that called? It's the state church that works with people on ships. Shimonshiku. And it was really cool because then she and I didn't know she had been involved in stuff like that, and she wasn't a Christian. She said it before, but she told me that she had actually led a gudstjeneste in a church up in Svalbard. All of a sudden, my mind just thought, this is a moment. This is a moment where we can discuss the gospel. It was a great conversation. I got to share with her that I had a really, really big experience with Jesus at one time, before, and it changed my life. It's having those eyes ready. It's having a filter on your eyes ready to see where are these gospel moments that can happen in your everyday life. It's viewing people the way that Jesus views them. And at the same time, as we get to know the gospel, we will be changed so that we can glorify God, like that verse says. And there's another verse I want to share with you that's been a really big verse for me over the years. 2 Corinthians. Because there's this idea of, okay, if we eat or drink or whatever you do, glorify God. Well, how do you glorify God? How do you glorify the creator of the universe? Is there a second one? Or are you going to do both of them? Yeah. Yeah. Part of the gospel is that when we accept Christ in our lives, we receive the mark of the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, on our hearts. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new identity. He includes us in his family. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces, I'm going to read my translation because it's a little bit more Norwegian friendly, maybe. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So that the idea of how do we glorify somebody who is already glory? How do we glorify somebody who has already glorified himself? And the way that we glorify him is getting to know him, getting to living in relationship with him, living out his gospel, letting it come into our lives. Because then we will be changed into images more and more like Jesus. And that's the fuel behind how we do what we do. So what does this look like in everyday life? Because it's a nice thing to talk about, but how do we do this? I don't know. How do you do it? I can't answer that question for you because you, as an individual, have a relationship with Jesus where you are, with the people that are around you. You know the people that you meet every day on an everyday basis. You know what they need, who they are, what they enjoy. So live in it. Get to know Jesus more and get to know the people around you more, and they will get to know Jesus. I had somebody ask me once, well, how are you so comfortable about talking about your faith? It's because it's a part of my life. How are you so comfortable getting to know people around you? It's because I'm interested in the people around me. Because Jesus is interested in them, I'm naturally interested in them because that's who I am. They have similar interests. I want to get to know them. It's being who you are. It's being gospel focused in your everyday life. Because there's a lot of people out there, the only Jesus they're ever going to meet is you. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I pray that the words that have been spoken tonight wouldn't be taken as heavy, but would be taken as encouraging. I pray that you would wake up our hearts to realize that the message that you've given us is a big one, and it's worth pursuing. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would be encouraged to start viewing life through the gospel. I also pray for the people here that don't know you. I pray that they would begin to see you through our fellowship. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch their hearts. Please bless the rest of the evening. Amen. If there's anybody who needs or wants to talk with somebody or pray, there will be Jon Arne and Janne in the back, so they can meet with you and speak with you and pray with you. And please do that. Thanks.
Takk for at du hørte på ukens budskap. Vi har flere ulike møtepunkter der vi samles for å bli kjent med Gud og hverandre, og for å hjelpe hverandre å leve ut troen i hverdagen. Møt oss gjerne på en søndag, eller sjekk ut hamarfrikirke.no, Facebook eller Instagram.